guys have now won 3 straight Big Ten championships. How does it feel?
Oh, yes. That's how we kick off this week's episode of the Detroit Sports Hour on the Tom Green Podcast. How does it feel to be a Big Ten champion for 3 straight seasons? Bet. Oh, yes. You've been looking at my personal Twitter, TomTV23 on Twitter. That's pretty much what I was tweeting for a lot of the time since Harbaugh's suspension. Bet. In fact, before the Penn State game. Hey, let's take a look at Tom Green's Twitter. Bet. Yup, because bet. Michigan, a Big Ten champion for the 3rd consecutive season. And they did it with offense, somewhat. And they did it with defense. In fact, I think it's a shame that Iowa's defensive coordinator ended up still winning the Broyles Award. I mean, granted, Iowa's defense is solid. I'm not going to sit here and bash Iowa's defense because, well, that's what got that abysmal Hawkeye offense to the Big Ten championship game, was their defense. So, credit where it is due, Iowa's defense was solid. But Michigan's defense gets 3 turnovers and a shutout in a Big Ten title.
But Iowa's defense! Iowa's defense!
See what I mean? Gotta give credit where it's due, yes. But let's also credit Michigan's defense for getting 3 turnovers and points off turnovers, too. Outlasting Iowa 23-0 to win a Big Ten championship and to be the number 1 ranked team in the land for the first time in 25 years. I was 3 years old the last time Michigan was ranked number 1. Isn't that hard to believe? I'm 28 now. But that is how far or how long it has been since Michigan has been to this precipice of college football glory, I guess if you want to call it that. We will have more on the college football playoff preview around Christmas time. So congratulations to the Michigan Wolverines for the 3rd consecutive Big Ten title. That is awesome, and that's what we want to see here in Ann Arbor, and it's what a lot of us expect to, and we're glad that it's come to fruition. So Michigan football, bet. Always. B-E-T, bet. As an aside, moving to the basketball team, I've said it last week, they're flat, and they still have only won 1 game since winning at Madison Square Garden against St. John's. And unfortunately, this is just going to be how Michigan is this year. They can score. I mean, let's look at the last 5 games. A loss to Memphis, 67. Okay, against a good defense, you probably win that game. Stanford, 83 and a win. Texas Tech, 57 and a loss. Texas Tech has a decent defense, so, okay, a winnable score, but still gave up too many points. Oregon, 83 points in overtime. That should have been a win. Indiana, 75 points in regulation. That should have been a win. Anytime you score more than 75 points, you should be able to win the game. And unfortunately, because Michigan basketball lacks some sort of defense, it's just going to be that way. At Iowa coming up, I expect that to be a slugfest. I expect Iowa to win that. They'll probably beat Eastern and McNeese State. Okay, there's 2 wins on the board so they can at least feel better about themselves. But still, Michigan fans, let's enjoy this football Big Ten championship and playoff game coming up on New Year's Day, because January and February are probably about to be abysmal. And you heard it here first, and I warned you. I hope I'm wrong with that assessment, but it certainly looks like January and February are going to be quite abysmal, because Michigan's defense is nearly non-existent. Doug McDaniel has played well, 19.4 points a game and 5 assists a game. Olivier Nakamoa, I probably mispronounced that, I apologize, 56.5% field goal percentage. 81 points a game. That's not horrible. I mean, that should be winnable basketball in 40 minutes, okay? If you play decent defense. So they can score. So you're going to have some exciting games. You're going to have slugfests like what happened against Indiana, 78-75, or Oregon, 86-83. That's how they're going to lose. But I'm sorry to say, they are just going to lose. They're not a tournament team. I said it now, before even conference play starts. They are not a tournament team. They'll probably go, who knows, they'll probably go 12-8 in conference because Juwan gets them ready for conference play, but it's still not enough. You got to win games in December to even get to March. You can't just rely on conference play, and we learned that last year because Michigan was very much in the running for a double bye last year. But of course they screwed that up, and they screwed up the Big Ten tournament too, and did not get there. So that's how it is for Michigan basketball right now. I guess enjoy the ride, question mark? Because that's what the ride is. A big old question mark. Anyway, to the Detroit Pistons, and we remember our rant from last week about them. And guess what? The rant continues because they still have not won a game since. Losing to New York by 6. Losing to Cleveland by 9. Losing to Memphis by 14. Will they win a game before the start of the new year? I have absolutely no idea how to answer that question. The only people that can answer that question are the Detroit Pistons themselves. And it's terrible. I saw a flyer, or at least an email, from the Detroit Pistons saying that they are offering holiday packs. Holiday plan. Choose any 3 games starting at $124. Who in their right mind is going to spend $124 on that product to watch it 3 times? You tell me. I could probably get Pistons tickets for as much as a Happy Meal. Granted, I'll probably be sitting way in the upper deck and the players will be like 2 inches tall, but that's the truth about this team. Tom Gores, if you're listening to this, just sell the team now. And I said it last week and I'm going to keep saying it until they start producing some sort of quality basketball or Tom Gores does sell the team. Because the NBA needs to step in. Tom Gores needs to sell the team. Might be time for Troy Weaver to go. It most likely is time for Troy Weaver to go. But I have not really watched much NBA. I watched a little bit of the in-season tournament, per se. But I haven't watched much NBA because the Pistons stink. I have no Detroit basketball to talk about. Because this team cannot play the caliber of basketball you need to play in the National Basketball Association. Boy, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Monty Williams. This ain't his fault at all. In fact, Monty, if you're listening to this, I apologize for the city of Detroit because you deserve better than this. You deserve way better than this. Moving on, thoughts about the in-season tournament. I'll say a little bit about that because I watched some of that yesterday. I absolutely love the concept of this in-season tournament because guess what? It's getting players and teams to provide quality basketball early in the season. Because let's be honest, the NBA has lacked that for a while. Part of it is because it's an 82-game season, and when you play 82 games, you're going to get bored for a few of them. Now, granted, the players will go out every night, try their best, play their best, etc. But in an 82-game season, you're going to get lackluster nights. That's just part of sports. With the NBA in-season tournament, that divide has kind of lessened a little bit. And it's good for the game. I first thought it was just a gimmick before the start of the year. I'm like, this is just a gimmick to try to get people to watch that really don't care. Well, let me tell you, the gimmick worked. The gimmick has worked and then some. Because in the semifinals last night, yes, one of the games was completely lackluster, but that's just the NBA for you. The Pelicans just got the doors wiped clean from them by the Lakers last night. But you saw some pretty decent basketball. That being set aside, I guess the only complaint I have about this in-season tournament is that I wish it were to be at a little bit different time. And here's the reason why. Early season, yes, you have the early season interest and people actually wanting to watch basketball early in the year just to get a feel for how the season's going to go. Okay. So they're having the in-season tournament now. Whereas I feel that the in-season tournament should be around January and February. And the reason is, at that point, people are invested in the game of basketball. And more particularly, invested in the game of college basketball. If you put the NBA's in-season tournament against that, you have a chance to win. Now, college basketball, big fan, March Madness, all that good jazz, great to watch. Even when Michigan struggles, it's good to watch. But if you put the in-season tournament towards the middle of the season, it perhaps cuts down on those boring games that you see in February. Because in the middle of February, we're watching college basketball and kind of lamenting that football season is completely done until August. That's when you should have the NBA in-season tournament. Yes, you do have the All-Star game there, and I understand that. Perhaps maybe you have the in-season tournament championship as the last game before the All-Star break. Think about it that way. So just a slight complaint from mine, but not necessarily one that's going to make me turn off the in-season tournament entirely just because that isn't there. But it's a suggestion. Put it in the suggestion box of the NBA for the future, if Adam Silver is somehow listening to the show. Just a thought. Put the thoughts out on paper. Put the thoughts out on a podcast. That's what I do. That's why I'm doing it. Moving to the Red Wings. I was going to have a Wings Sabres preview early this week, but in the podcasting and sports world, there are sometimes stud weeks that turn into duds. This week kind of turned into a dud because we had some opportunities that that didn't come to fruition, but later opportunities will happen with future guests. So not gonna disclose much, but we'll say that this was supposed to be a big week on the show, and it kind of turned out to fall flat. And so you get one show with myself ranting for 20-plus minutes. Hope you enjoy it. But nonetheless, moving to the Red Wings, I did promise that I was going to give a report after Patrick Kane took the ice for the first time. My regret is, of course, not being there last night, Thursday night at the game, but day job things happen, and obligations happen. It's part of the working world. But what I have to say about this is that if we sort of forget the last 32 minutes of last night's hockey game, we might have a Stanley Cup contender. Okay? But the last 32 minutes of that Red Wings-Sharks game happened. Now, before that, a nice 5-4 victory over the Habs. I believe that was in overtime. A 5-3 victory over the Buffalo Sabres. So, the Wings are continuing on their goal pace. They have a hot offense right now. I'm sure we remember hot ice from Goon. That's kind of how the Wings offense is right now. And adding Patrick Kane to that mix just makes it even hotter. Let me tell you. So, this is going to create some fun times. And hopefully those fun times last until late April, May, and maybe even June. So, I would say don't let the last 32 minutes of last night's game discourage you from this Red Wings team, but also keep it in mind that they need to improve on the defensive side of the puck. Maybe Ville-Husso isn't the right guy at goaltender. Maybe it's somebody else. We love to chant, "Hoos," but is he the right guy? It remains to be seen. Red Wings continue their point streak while scoring 4 or more goals, which is good. I mean, they're a good team. They have 32 points. They're in second. They're tied for second place in the Atlantic Division with the Florida Panthers, both having played 25 games to this point. And if this continues throughout the rest of the season, that would be a fun matchup if it can happen. having the Panthers take on Detroit in the first round of the playoffs. We'll definitely have to bring back Blaylock for that. That's my amiga, my friend there. Moving to some stats, we'll break down a few stats as we do every week. Larkin leading the points chase with 25, 11, and 14. DeBrincat with 24, 13, and 11. Lucas Raymond with 22, 9, and 13. And then Gostabir with 5 and 14 to make 19. And JT Confer with 6 and 13 to make 19. I said goals first, then assists, if you're wondering. So, stats are looking good. You have three guys over 20 points. You have a pretty good team. 25 games into the season. Of course, you have the Connor McDavids in the NHL world that get 100 points a year, it seems like. But you get the same amount of points as you have games. You are a decent hockey team. Hopefully the Wings will bounce back from this overtime loss and move forward. But don't be discouraged by the last 32 minutes, because yes, it was unacceptable that the Wings took a 4-0 lead and blew it. But they also got a point. And they kept their point streak with four goals scored alive. And that's the overwhelming main thing about it. Moving to the Lions. Lions almost looking a little bit like the 2011 Lions in the last 3 weeks. Let's be completely honest here. They are scoring points. They're scoring. And that's what you need to do as an offense, is to score points. But they have a hard time maintaining that scoring pace. And, of course, the defense is susceptible to giving up points, as we know. Even though some people around the league still don't see that, i.e. Tony Romo. This defense is susceptible to giving up points, and it did so again at the Superdome. Granted, they got out of the Superdome with a win. They got out of there with a win. It was a win that I didn't expect. They're 9-3. With 5 to go. 3 in the division. Denver. And Dallas. You win 3 of those games, you win the division. You win your 3 divisional games, you win the division. You're up 3 in the loss column. Minnesota loses twice, you win the division. As long as you win 3, of course. So it's lining up pretty well for this Detroit Lions team to take home the NFC North and host their first playoff game at Ford Field. And that's going to be quite a ruckus crowd, let me tell you. But they have to go to Soldier Field in Chicago first. Injury report for this week. As of Thursday's practice, Frank Ragnow did not practice. He suffered a head injury there in New Orleans. Malcolm Rodriguez... left practice. Anzalone and Hendon Hooker were full practices. On Chicago's side, Yannick Ngakoue left practice. Mercedes Lewis and Equiminius St. Brown did not practice. While Larry Borum, Deontay Foreman, Noah Sewell, and Tyreek Stevenson were all full practices. I'm not sure what to think of this Bears team. We talked about it a few weeks ago that they should be a better team than their record says. And I've said it on Twitter before. I still call it Twitter, even though it's now considered Elon Musk's X. But besides the point, what I had said on Twitter was that I am not entirely sure why Matt Eberflus was even hired to coach this team. And then when it comes to the offense, I'm looking out the window and I see my window screen. And I think to myself, is that Luke Getsy's playbook? Because Luke Getsy throws screens almost all the time. Now, that play nearly worked a couple of weeks ago in the game at Ford Field. And I think the Bears remember that game plan for a couple of weeks ago at Ford Field. So, just because the Bears are a team that's looking to have two of the top five draft picks does not mean you should take this team lightly. Detroit is a 3-point favorite as of Friday afternoon. 61.8 against 37.9% on the percentages to see who will win. The over-under is 42.5. I would take the over on that because the Bears can score. Just not a lot and not too often. Detroit can score as well. I would take the over on that. At Soldier Field, it's going to be close, and I think that line is pretty accurate. Give me the Lions 27-24. I think it's going to be another game where Chicago may have the lead early in the game and even at the half, but Detroit will take over in the second half, sort of like they did, even though it was later than what we wanted to a couple weeks ago, and win this game to get to that 10th win with four games to go. When was the last time we said that in Detroit? 10 wins with four games to go. That's pretty awesome, if you ask me. And I think that's what happens. So, that should do it for this week's edition of the show. Enjoy the Lions game Sunday. We're going to have some bowl analysis and bowl selections next week, along with the Lions Broncos. That's going to be a Saturday night game. It was flexed to Saturday night because of the NFL's flex scheduling. So that should be interesting. We'll preview the bowls, non-playoff and a little bit of playoff. We'll kind of scratch the surface of the playoff and then preview the playoff after that. So enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Army-Navy. That's always a fun game to watch. And we're getting closer to that holiday season. This has been the Tom Green Podcast, Detroit Sports Week. We'll be right back.